Follow the money.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Here we go. Welcome in. It is Follow the Money on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Mitch Moss along with Pauly Howard live in downtown Vegas from the Circa Resort and Casino. 3-hour banger lined up, all NFL here on the show today. Nick Whalen on the program in 30 minutes. Best bets on tonight's Monday night game. Warren Sharp, reaction to Week 17. A best bet, hopefully, from him as well tonight between the Rams and the Falcons. The good, the bad, and the ugly. We'll spend a lot of time on playoff scenarios, awards markets, and Week 18 numbers in this sport as well. And, Pauly, it's, I guess, fitting tonight that the Rams are playing on Monday Night Football, the last Monday Nighter of the year, because the entire landscape of at least the NFC would be completely different if this team didn't blow, and they blew all four of their losses, but if they just didn't blow one of them. And the teams that are playing next Saturday night for the one seed, they absolutely blew a game to each of those teams. The game just last Thursday against Seattle, up 30-14, and that Thursday night game to Mac Jones and the 49ers.
Yep.
And so that's now they have to play for the five seed. That's what they're playing tonight for and what they're playing next week for as well.
Yep, and the significance and ramifications of the Saturday night game and what happens to the loser, much like Minnesota and Detroit last night. These owners are so stubborn, and they refuse to give up these home games, that it's possible that 8-9 host 13-4, which to me is embarrassing for the league and stupid. So all these people getting mad at the group of five teams getting in college football, forget about the playoffs. The winner of Saturday afternoon's game should be relegated.
Yeah.
How bad this division is with the NFC South. Tampa's on an 0-8 ATS run, and they're playing for the division. They've lost 7 of 8.
Yeah, they exactly right. They have one game in their last eight. They're 1-7 last eight overall. They're playing for the division. And they will host, potentially, the number one power-rated team in the league and the team that has the shortest odds to win the Super Bowl, like according to everybody.
Yep.
That is just absolutely ridiculous, and the league has to do something about it.
Yep. They won't, but it's common sense to me, and it's sad for the league. That throws a wrench into things. That messes things up. You could have Bo Nix and Sam Darnold as one seeds. Seattle has the second most turnovers in the league. Still fighting for the one seed and winning games, how good the defense is. That, to me, is incredible. 28 turnovers, and they're still in position to get the one seed. And the other one, the door is open, thanks to another Mike Tomlin stinker. That you want to see Derrick Henry in January with 30 carries? I mean, it's this close to happening. And to get the four seed and the potential matchups we could have would be fantastic, but
you can bet them right now, the Baltimore Ravens, at 10-1.
Uh-huh.
Now, it's a little bit lower than that at some books. Hell, you might find higher than that at others, but I was staring at 10-1 to win the AFC today.
And I don't even know if Lamar plays, but I'm just saying, if he comes back for the playoffs and you have to tackle that big boy who just set the record for most rushing yards as a visitor at Lambeau, common sense, let's give him the ball 35 times a game. Which that is going to be a problem come January if that's the game plan.
Yeah.
Because he's such a beast.
So how about what John Murray at the Westgate, he was in on a column today, ESPN.com. He said everybody over there, they're very good at the NFL. They have been for many, many years. A lot of sharp guys making numbers. They said there's not much of a difference between, right now, in their opinion, between Tyler Huntley and this state of Lamar Jackson.
Oh, boy.
I don't think he's that wrong.
Yeah.
I really don't, because Lamar Jackson has had a terrible year and he's had countless injuries.
Well, he can throw, though. I mean, Huntley had 100 yards.
He didn't have to throw, though, Paul. Yeah, like, what do you want? You want 300 from him and then Henry to have 35 carries? Well, not going to happen in the same game.
Well, number one, I think I have to move on if he can't play. You can't miss a playoff game because you took a knee to the back. And I'm not saying he's faking it. I'm just saying with all these injuries, and it's always something with this guy, I need you out there. You can't miss important games because you're always hurt. So, as we said yesterday on the tailgate show, if Crosby could go for 3 number ones or whatever it's going to be, or Sauce Gardner goes for 2 number ones, I have to explore this if I'm Baltimore. That the fact that if he can't be out there and I can win games without him. It's also alarming that LaFleur has to come out and say Love is our franchise quarterback, because there's enough talk about it, why we gave this guy all the money. The offense looks the same, if not better, when Willis is in there.
Well, again, raise your hand if you thought giving Jordan Love that much money when they did was the appropriate move. Diehard cheeseheads will say right here it was the right move, but I don't trust any fan base to make any logical move about their team. And that was just way too much money at the time. They were overreacting to a small stretch of football that he played, and you had no idea what kind of long-term quarterback Jordan Love was going to be. Like, do I think he's better than Malik Willis overall? I do. I don't want to get completely nuts and tell you that Malik Willis, based on a short sample size, is a better quarterback. But I have been saying it for quite some time on this show that Malik Willis under Matt LaFleur, they found something with this guy. And I don't actually mind him. I don't mind Green Bay when Love is not there and Willis has to be the guy. Now, that's a different story than him going to another team and being the full-time starter potentially next year. But that's, I will say that about almost every, not all of them, but almost every quarterback when they get a huge contract, I'm like, not so sure about that one. And usually that reaction is going to be the right one, the way it pans out.
Yeah. Well, the other thing too, is you mentioned this a couple months ago with the what-if scenario. This Philadelphia defense is flat out nasty.
Yeah.
But they can't move the ball and they're broken offensively. Again, they're 9-0 when Hurts throws under 200 yards. But then you can't get anything going with the rushing attack with Barkley, and you have 11 yards in the second half and somehow still win the game.
And do not complete a pass.
Yes, right.
And you won the game.
You're right. So we might get Rams-Eagles. We could get Ravens-Texans. We could get Bills-Patriots for a third time.
Yeah, this is why
it's going to change everything.
This is why it's paramount for the Rams to win the next two games. If they do, they will be the 5 seed. The Rams, now they probably will not admit this, they do not want to go to Philadelphia in the first round of the playoffs under any circumstance. And they can control their destiny. They would much rather, I mean, honestly, you ask 100 fans, who do you think you'd rather play if you're the Rams right now? Would you rather go to Philadelphia in round one, or would you go to the NFC South winner?
Well, that could be the Bears, too.
Yeah, it could be.
You know, the Bears are only, I'm surprised they're only 2.5-point favorite against the Lions.
But I would rather, Paul, I don't want to go play the Bears either.
Yeah.
You know, give me Tampa,
well,
give me Carolina.
Yeah. You want that for us, yes.
Yeah, you got to have that.
Yep.
And as we saw last night, I mean, the Bears, I mean, I know that they, you know, first play of the game, pick six, here we go again. But that offense was humming last night, and I'm curious if, you know, I'm not going to complain about this. There are a lot of other things to be upset about in the world than saying, you know, you had to put the Seahawks and the 49ers on the Sunday night game. It doesn't bother me that they're going to give us Ravens Steelers. I would just fight back maybe a little bit and say I would rather see real football because the NFC has real football, and there's a chance that the Steelers and Ravens is not going to be a very fun game to watch overall. But is every game that San Francisco will play in from now until the end of their season just going to be a complete shootout and go over the total? That was the easiest bet you can make the entire year last night on over in that game. Just the touchdowns multiplying one right after another.
Yes.
And despite Seattle's offensive woes now going on what feels like a good month, and Sam Darnold was awful again yesterday, and he should have had more than one INT. It's hard for me to imagine the 49ers defense getting many stops against the Seattle offense. That's how bad a shape they're in right now.
Yeah. Well, if you can win Saturday night, then you get the one seed, and then all you have to do is win one game and you can get Warner back. That's also huge. Or just when in doubt, throw the ball to McCaffrey or hand it off to him. How well he's playing. But it's, can Darnold put together three strong games in a row? The answer is going to be no, I think.
No, I would bet on the no.
That's going to be the same question of Bo Nix. And if he can do it and not turn the ball over, because they have been awful in some of these games against bad teams.
Mm-hmm.
And they play down to their competition, and we'll see that Jacksonville game is still fresh after how bad the defense played. So this thing's wide open. And the fact that you're not going to have, like, maybe no Lamar, no Mahomes, no Burrow, but Josh Allen's going to be a 7 seed. He's going to have to win all these games on the road.
Yeah, and how about this? The Buffalo Bills, over the last 30 years, 0-8 in road playoff games. I get it. That's going back way before Josh Allen got there. However, 4 losses in those 8 games have been with Josh Allen. 0-4 on the road, Josh Allen. And now he's going to have to go back-to-back-to-back games to come out of the conference. And he was dinged up yesterday in that game, had to go get an X-ray on his foot after it was over with. And they couldn't get anything going early in that game for the first half plus. And that's the reason why the Eagles are going to be very difficult for anybody to beat in the NFC. Their offense stinks, but their defense is a problem for almost every other team.
They're going to also have to play lights out, but take the ball away, it appears, and give the offense short fields. This just shouldn't happen. All year, they couldn't fix this or correct it.
Yeah.
So we went the whole season where Philadelphia couldn't get their act together. And I'm stunned based on the weapons that they have.
They got all the makings.
Yeah, they do. They have all the players. And they can't make it happen.
Did you hear Terry Bradshaw? I rarely, if ever, watch any of the stuff in between games or pregame on Fox or CBS. I caught a little bit of it yesterday. That was a postgame, and he said that the Eagles are the most complete team in the NFL.
Oh, no, he didn't.
Oh, he did.
Oh, my God.
I think like their ceiling is super high, but that's based on an offense that has not delivered like 90% of the time this year. I can't call them the most complete team in the league. I just can't because the offense has been broken the entire time.
Yeah.
If it's last year's team, sure. This year, I mean, how do you have multiple games this year where you don't complete a game in the second half? Come on. Yep. It's 2025. This is not 1962 we're talking about.
Shout out to our guy, too, in Cleveland, ESPN Cleveland, Tony Rizzo. He had a good line today, and he's covered the Browns for over 30 years. He's never seen a guy have an impact on the game without a sack like Myles Garrett did. The Steelers were terrified of that guy.
They didn't want him to get the record.
They didn't want to give him the record. He changed the game plan, and Rodgers didn't want to get hit. That was an A-plus job by the Cleveland defense. Oh, now, it helped no Metcalf. Washington broke his arm and no Austin. But that was phenomenal. They didn't want Garrett to celebrate. They didn't want him to have a sack and wreck the game. But he wrecked the game, and like he said afterwards, they were more focused on me not getting the record than winning the game, and he was exactly right.
Yeah, to his point there, Kenneth Gainwell, who has been phenomenal down the stretch here for the Steelers, he chipped him the entire game, had 3 catches, 12 yards. How do you do that? That's a Mike Tomlin special right there.
It is. No one loses more games to bad teams than Tomlin.
Futures up next. Tons of movement with awards again. I really hope it doesn't boil down to unwritten requirements. I'll tell you what I mean next on Follow the Money. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match. Here's the thing. Pro bettors spend thousands on data and tools, but what they don't want you to know is you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and more. Tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
You can always get in touch with the show on X. That's the easiest spot when we're live here on the air, or when you're going to listen to the podcast as well, for us to like look at, respond to. At VSiN Live and Mitch Moss Radio at Paulie Howard. This is from Colin. He got the Ravens 23-1 to win the AFC third quarter of the Steelers game yesterday when it looked pretty likely that they would lose.
Oh.
He said, that said, give me the 3.5 points on Sunday with Pittsburgh. Don't blame him.
Yeah, this is a game Tomlin wins, right?
Sure, right. You said that yesterday on the tailgate show.
Yeah, that's Tomlin. He'll lose this game and then come back and beat the Ravens. And it's, you know, 50-50 that Lamar plays. Also, can Henry do it again? What does he have in the tank after those 36 carries on Saturday night? But it's just, how are they going to move the ball now? With the DK Metcalf suspension, Washington broke his arm. Mm-hmm. No, I mean, you can't. Scantling 3 times in a row? What are we doing here? They just signed the guy.
Do you think Scantling on that pass in the end zone there at the very end jumped a little too early?
Or he should? Perhaps.
I thought maybe a smidge early he jumped.
Why are you throwing a Denzel Ward 3 times? Some of the play calling, and then it's just, I mean, all I have to do is contain the run and worry about Freiermuth now. Because Rodgers doesn't want to get hit, and they can't handle the pressure. But that was awful what happened from Pittsburgh's standpoint.
Here's a tweet from Andrew. He is sweating out a 49ers-Patriots number one seed parlay at 113-1.
Oh, my God.
That's a beautiful ticket, Andrew. He's asking about any hedging ideas. Well, he'll have to start on Saturday, take the Seahawks.
It's a no-brainer for Harbaugh. He must sit people Sunday. And that gives Denver the one seed, but you can't risk Herbert getting hurt against that defense with that bad offensive line. You can't. It's just funny because it's the same matchup, right? When Staley played people and he didn't have to.
That's right.
Mike Williams got hurt and missed the playoff loss.
Oh, yeah.
And he put Herbert in there. The game doesn't mean anything. Tough loss Saturday. Typical Charger loss. You have to sit people if you're Harbaugh. I'm surprised that line isn't higher.
Here's what you could do. I don't know if you want to do a 2-team parlay on Denver money line along with Seahawks money line because the 49ers could win on Saturday. Right? It's a coin flip game. Mm-hmm. They could win that one. So you might want to just do the Seahawks first. And then if you lose that bet, come down and probably Well, the Broncos are a big money line favorite, obviously, but you need to probably come down and double, try to win double what you just lost.
Yeah.
That's my idea here live on the air as we hash it out.
Maybe something in play. Who knows? Maybe Trey Lance can have him hang on that one, too. And then Bryce. Bryce has a parlay. Shanahan, coach of the year, and Shuck, offensive rookie of the year. And this is probably going to happen now with Shuck. He'll put up numbers again Sunday against Atlanta.
Sure he will.
You know, it's only going to be 10 starts when it's all said and done, but no one wants this award.
No, you can't. I mean, honestly, I don't care that he's only going to be 10 starts for him. Look, the Tet McMillan thing, he was minus 360 yesterday. I think the question has to be asked about, was there a game or two this year where Tet McMillan appeared to be the best rookie in the NFL? I think the answer to that would be yes. He had a couple of really nice games.
The Atlanta game, it was awesome.
Yeah, right.
But that's it.
Has there been one stretch of football this year where you're like, oh my God, Tet McMillan is the best rookie in this class? Like, by stretch, I mean 3-4 games in a row. No way has that happened. We've had stretches where you can make that comment about Emeka Egbuka, Tyler Warren, Travion Henderson, mm-hmm. and now you have to say the same thing about Shuck, the way that he's ending the year. And again, this has been McMillan could have ran away with this whole award. Yeah. Same thing with Henderson, Egbuka. They've had their chances.
What a fan and had a quarterback all year.
I agree.
Yeah. Another touchdown. Hurt.
So I think if people were poo-pooing Shuck, national media, last week, and I think that's starting to turn after what happened again yesterday. Yeah. There was a great tweet from Nick Underhill, who covers the team, and I want to make sure that I have this before I get any of it wrong. But he was basically talking about how many players he is without right now, and it's pretty alarming. And the kid looks like the real deal, and I saw somebody else point this out. If the Saints had the number one pick in the draft, they wouldn't take a quarterback. I agree with that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Also, great job if you're jumping on Olave props, too. I mean,
he's been awesome.
He continues to eat. I still think Henderson has a chance and an opportunity. Now, he had 80 yards against the Jets. They gave him the ball three times inside the three.
That's right.
Score. You know, and then they throw it to Stevenson and not Henderson. But if he can go off against Miami, and I think 90 yards and two touchdowns could be good enough to get him over the hump as well.
I don't disagree.
Just, damn, he couldn't get in the end zone against the Jets, and you figure everyone else was getting in the end zone.
Let me ask
you this.
They
scored a touchdown in their first six drives.
If Henderson, and he had the yards, but he didn't have the touchdowns. If he had Stevenson yesterday, where would Henderson be right now on the odds board?
He'd be the favorite.
I think he'd be the favorite.
Yes.
To get into the end zone twice and have about 100 yards.
Yeah, I don't know. Who knows what they're going to do? You know, so I go back to that year. What was that? Three, four years ago, Sirianni was minus $4 in December to win Coach of the Year. Wasn't even a finalist when it was all
That's
said
right.
and done.
That's right. So here's a tweet from Nick Underhill, who has covered the Saints for a long time. The team yesterday did not have wide receiver 2, wide receiver 3, running back 1, 2, 3, right guard, center, tight end 2, tight end 3 got hurt in the game. But they did have Tyler Shuck. Stars do star things, as he tweeted out. 333 yards and 2 touchdowns. He is actually, now this is, again, how do sportsbooks actually make these numbers right now? It's been flipping back and forth since last night. He's either the short shot or McMillan is, but I think the one guy who can steal it would be Henderson. That's it. The books are telling you it's basically down to two guys. I think you have to include Henderson in the mix.
Yes.
And Egbuka has been on a milk carton now for 6 weeks in a row, minimum, maybe 2 months.
Yeah. He throws to McMillan nonstop yesterday.
Right.
I mean, you figure it out.
So if Stafford has a nice game tonight, and you can come up with whatever number, if they win the game, he throws for 220 and a couple of scores. How does May pull this off?
May can't. And he's had a great year. It's just, like you said at the top of the show, we think the Rams are the best team, but they've blown four games. I think the voters will ignore 5 seed as opposed to 14 wins and the great story with the Patriots, and also the schedule played into it. And Stafford's numbers are fantastic.
He's got 10 more passing touchdowns.
I think he'll have a big night tonight. He will have a huge game against Arizona, and I'm sure it'll be a workmanlike performance by the Patriots against Miami. I do agree with Gronk, who said they come out early and want to hit you with a sledgehammer, and he expects the Patriots again to jump on Miami. The Patriots have been unbelievable in the first half this year. 15-1-1 money line.
Wow.
12-0-1 last 13, 13-3 ATS. But I just think it's Stafford's right here based on the numbers and how well he's played in light of special teams errors and a suspect defense all of a sudden.
May does have Stafford in a couple of categories. He's got him in completion percentage, yards per attempt, rushing yards, rushing touchdowns, EPA per pass, total EPA per game. as well. And Mike Sando was tweeting about this earlier today. He has a vote, and he doesn't mind talking about it, by the way, openly. And he was comparing those numbers to, like, historical quarterback numbers since 2000 when they won the award. And May's numbers are better in some categories. And I just wonder if they're going to – when I said this before the break, I hope that it doesn't boil down to unwritten requirements. And that is, if May is the one or the two seed, that has to outweigh the Rams being a – and Stafford being on a non-division winning team. I don't think that in this situation – maybe in others, it will matter. In this one, like you said, you can maybe say the Panthers game was on him more than anything else. Maybe. The other games that they lost, he had nothing to do with it. It was defense or special teams. A lot of it was on special teams why they lost the game. I think the team should be undefeated right now going into the game tonight. But we'll find out how it plays out and if that's going to turn into a thing. Now, is it down to two people to win Coach of the Year? Last night,
unfortunately, yes. I don't understand why Ben Johnson is now 20-25-1.
Paul,
he did a great job.
DK moved him to 60 at the end of the game last night.
Oh, my God. Come on. Still, they can get the two seed? If San Francisco would lose to Seattle, I just think it's... Okay, great job. Purdy was great. Phenomenal game. But half the team's sick. And Williams is out there making great plays. Remember how bad he was last year with the coaching staff and couldn't get the play in. It looks like a completely different operation. And I still think Ben Johnson should have a say in this.
So do I. And so if that last pass is completed and they win the game at the gun, he's around even money and Kyle Shanahan then has no chance to win the award.
Yeah,
I mean, that's what we're doing here.
I know.
But I
didn't think the game would play out that way, but it did.
Yeah.
You know, no one could get a stop. And then he's got the guy wide open for a touchdown, but you know he couldn't sit and throw, couldn't get set, and I had to rush it. But it's just you can't. They were so bad last year, all three phases, and here they are with a great offense, and they score 38 points on the road and almost pull it off.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. And then people holding tickets on Liam Cohen are going to say, "What about us? We won four games last year."
D'Amico Ryan's another great job. Can't do it.
I think Shanahan's going to win a lot. I say that because a lot of voters have been talking about that.
Yeah.
They've been tweeting about it and saying that, look, nobody has a better case than him.
How the offense continues to look like this with all the guys.
Oh, my God. All the star power. Yeah, and they can be.
Jennings hurt. You had Pearsall hurt. You had the Ayuk situation. You don't have Kittle.
Mm-hmm.
They score 42 points, right? What they've done.
I would even say if they lose the game, again, it's a coin flip. What, because he doesn't get the one seed now, Shanahan can't win the award? Again, that's nonsense.
I know. Start the new year off as a better with VSiN Pro subscription. Final week to save 50% off the regular monthly price with our holiday special. You get the college football playoff betting guide, Mackinnon's power ratings, best bets, previews for every bowl game, the AI-powered props as well, and the real-time betting splits. VSiN.com/subscribe. Save now. VSiN.com/subscribe.
The Rams are playing for the five seed. Kirk Cousins has been clicking with Kyle Pitts. Robinson, Nakua have been monsters. We'll discuss attacking this game coming up next on Follow the Money. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
More now on awards markets and some player props for tonight's action. Nick Whalen joins the program with RotoWire, and he is on the Progressive guest line. Okay, so your shot at this now. We just ran down Rookie of the Year and the Coach of the Year. Our thoughts on that. Let's begin with Offensive Rookie of the Year, the way you see it between Chuck McMillan and still maybe Travion Henderson?
Maybe Travion Henderson. You know, I know Emeka Buka is still hanging out there at 12-1. I think his ship has probably sailed. Although, I mean, part of the reason that we're even having this discussion right now is because this is such an underwhelming race. You know, you look at the players who've won this award over the last decade or so, it's pretty much all guys who have gone on to become at least stars, if not superstars, in the NFL. And look, maybe that will be Tyler Shuck. Maybe it will be Teteroa McMillan. But the fact that McMillan could have the game that he did last week in a huge spot for Carolina with a chance to lock up the division and still be the betting favorite at some books, I think says a lot about where we're sitting. To me, it would be Tyler Shuck if I had a vote, guys. But it's also worth noting that you look back at all the quarterbacks who've won this award over the last 20 years. All of those guys started at least 13 games, and the majority of them started 15 or 16. there is almost no precedent for a quarterback like Tyler Shuck, you know, starting 8 or 9 games, even if he has looked as impressive as Shuck has over these last few weeks, and taking home this award. So I think that's something you have to consider for a lot of voters, is a full season of Teteroa McMillan, even if there have been plenty of underwhelming games mixed in there, versus, okay, how much do we dock or maybe not vote for Tyler Shuck because he wasn't out there for half of the year?
Yeah, that's what it's going to boil down to.
Yep.
If they put him in it over Spencer Rattler, let's say 3 games before this, he'd be the runaway favorite right now to win it.
I think he would. I think he absolutely would. And especially if he was playing at anywhere close to the level that he has these last couple of weeks, right? I mean, the Saints went from one of the saddest operations in the NFL to still a team that has a lot of questions to answer, you know, heading into next year and beyond. You know, they've kicked the can down the road for so long, trying to cling to whatever remains, you know, of the kind of the end of the Drew Brees era. So I don't know if Tyler Shuck is ultimately, you know, your locked in starter. Is he going to be the starter for them 5 years from now? Who knows? But, you know, the fact that he has brought some real optimism to this team heading into 2026, I think that's kind of what's carrying the narrative right now.
What if the Bears get the 2 seed? I still think you could make a strong case for Ben Johnson. I mean, they lose to come down to the final play last night.
I agree. In contrast to Offensive Rookie of the Year, this is maybe the deepest Coach of the Year pool that I can remember. I mean, I think you have at least 5 guys, Vrabel, Shanahan, McDonald, Cohen, and Johnson, who would be runaway favorites to win this award most years, right? At least 3 of those guys would be just a no-doubter minus like 1,500 right now to win the award. And instead, it still feels like a toss-up. You know, to me, Mike McDonald is not the guy I would put my money on right now at 7-1. It's been a very impressive year, of course, for Seattle. But I think he'll kind of split the credit there between himself, between Sam Darnold. You know, a lot of people think of that defense in Seattle as their first thought. You know, Vrabel to me makes some sense. I get why he's the favorite. Are people going to hold the schedule against that New England team? You know, they have the signature win against Buffalo, but that was, two plus months ago at this point. I think Liam Cohen at 12-1 is actually a pretty reasonable value. The Jags are the toast of the league right now. And I'm not just saying that as a Jaguars fan. They've won 7 in a row. They're the hot team. They have a chance to lock up the division in a big way, you know, as a heavy favorite against Tennessee in week 18. I mean, seeing Liam Cohen at 12-1 is crazy. I mean, he's kind of the guy that fits pretty much the mold of who we see win this award, which is, you know, team with relatively low expectation, shaky quarterback play, not only being better than we expected, but potentially being a top 2 seed heading into the playoffs.
Got an incredible case. If I had nobody in this market right now, he'd be the guy I'd be betting at 12-1. I think that number is ballooned up way too high.
I agree.
Yeah.
I
think so. In the battle for the NFC South coming up this weekend, we're in the same boat here, because the Buccaneers, I mean, have gone scorched earth on my bankroll countless times this year. I can't stand watching this team. I swore off them a couple weeks, so I can't bet them anymore. So what do you want to do this game against Carolina with the division on the line?
I don't want to bet it. I'll tell you that, because for as much money as I've lost on the Buccaneers, and I would throw the Chiefs and the Lions in there, just clinging to my priors way too much on those two teams. Those are the 3 that have hurt me the most. I'm at my wit's end with Tampa Bay, man. I don't know what's going on with this team. You know, I'm on here every Monday talking about, well, another bad game for Baker Mayfield. We've been saying that for 2 months. You know, the ironic thing is that Tampa Bay is healthier than it's been all season and is playing its worst football of the year. Like, they were playing significantly better when Chris Godwin wasn't out there and Mike Evans wasn't out there and Bucky Irving, you know, misses 2 months. All of a sudden you have all the pieces back and you can't even get to 20 points most weeks. I mean, it just feels like it gets worse and worse. The defense has completely fallen off of a cliff. I don't know how you could have any confidence if you're the Buccaneers heading into this game. And yet I still don't think Carolina is any good, right? They just played another perfectly Panthers game last week where the defense keeps you in it, you hang in for a half, and then the Bryce Young turnovers start and you let go of the rope. Now, I will say Carolina has alternated wins and losses for 10 consecutive games, which is almost impossible to do. So if you're a sequence guy, a pattern guy, that would tell you that we're due for a Carolina win this week. But I have no idea, guys. With the number at 3.5, I'll probably just take the points with the Panthers because I don't trust Tampa Bay to score right now, but neither of these teams deserve a playoff spot. And I thought it was kind of funny that the win and in game gets the afternoon slot on Saturday. You know, I know Niners Seahawks is an objectively better game. Of course, that's going to be in the night window, but this already is starting to feel like one of those just sad, you know, Andy Dalton versus Matt Schaub wild card games.
Yeah, well said. Bryce Young was 14 of 24 for 54 yards. That's horrible. Impossible. Come on. What do you like tonight in our final Monday night game?
Yeah, I lean Rams tonight, guys. You look at what this team has done off of a loss this season. There haven't been many of them, but you know, they come out and put up 45 on Arizona after losing to Carolina. They take care of business against Baltimore after they lost that crazy game to San Francisco, took a loss to Philly in week 3, came out and beat a really good Colts team at the time in week 4. So, you know, without Davante Adams, there will be some doubt creeping in, and I know Atlanta feels like they're playing better. How much stock at this point do we really put into wins over the Arizona Cardinals, who've lost 13 out of 14 and a win over that bad Tampa Bay team that we just talked about? So I think we'll get a competitive game. You know, Atlanta has at least made some improvements, but I lean Rams. And then in terms of props, look at that Blake Corum over 43.5 rushing yards tonight. It's gone over this number in 4 straight. It's got double digit carries now in 3 straight games. They continue to show more and more faith in him. And you know, this Falcons defense has had its moments. They're 27th in rush defense EPA on the season and have not really faced a good running team in a while. 5 of their last 6 games have come against objectively bad bottom half of the league running teams. So I think if we see the Rams, you know, jump out to an early lead, they can ride Blake Corum in the second half.
What do you want to do on the Falcons side? Do you want to trust this chemistry that we suddenly have between Kirk Cousins and Kyle Pitts, or do you want to go with the workhorse here, Bijan Robinson?
Yeah, you know, both of these defenses have been good against tight ends this season, so I'm staying off of Kyle Pitts. You know, Colby Parkinson burned me and everyone else in the fantasy world a week ago. Yeah, you got to find something, it feels like, for Bijan Robinson. I'm looking at the receiving over 44.5 receiving yards. For as good as the Rams defense is, they do give up a lot of yak yardage. They've given up the 3rd most receptions to running backs over the second half of the season. You know, last week we saw both Charbonnet and Kenneth Walker had productive days as receivers against that defense. I know Drake London is on track, at least, to play tonight. He saw limited action last week. I don't know that he's going to be a huge factor. And I think that LA defense, you know, gets enough pressure on Kirk Cousins. He does have to dump it off to Bijan Robinson. I mean, he's got 15 catches on 22 targets over the last 2 games, 174 yards total as a receiver. So that's kind of been the offense for the Atlanta Falcons, and I think that's their shot to hang in.
Do a little NBA here as well. Nick Whalen, our guest, RotoWire. High total tonight, mid-240s between the Timberwolves and the Bulls. And you want to attack it from a player prop standpoint with Julius Randle. How so?
Yeah, the Chicago Bulls are kind of like the Arizona Cardinals or the Cincinnati Bengals of the NBA right now in terms of targeting that team in the prop market, targeting them in DFS. I'm looking at the over 26.5 points plus assists for Julius Randle. Chicago terrible on the defensive end, near the top of the NBA in both points and assists allowed. So that's one that I like. Take a look at Devin Booker as well. This is another matchup situation where the Suns get the Washington Wizards, who are bottom 5 in basically every defensive stat category you could find. So give me the over 11.5 rebounds plus assists for Booker, getting that at plus money.
And you also like Reed Shepard tonight for the Rockets, over 18.5 points and assists as well.
That's right. And yet another bad defensive team. Rockets going up against the Indiana Pacers. Shepard coming off a really nice game over the weekend. No Alperen Şengün tonight for Houston. So obviously not a one-to-one positional match in terms of Şengün being out. But I think we do see some trickle down in terms of the workload, in terms of the offensive responsibility for Reed Shepard with no Şengün.
You can follow Nick on X. He's at Whalen, but it's a number 1 instead of an L, at WHA1EN. For RotoWire. Great job as always, my man. Happy New Year to you and the family, and we'll talk again next week.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Good job.
There you go. And he was on the Progressive guest line.
Big night for Stafford. I think locks it up. And the more you look and think about it, the Patriots have 2 wins this year against teams with a winning record.
That has to factor in.
2 wins.
That's it.
No, they're 10-0 against teams with a losing record, and they've body banked them. But that's just, that has to carry the day. They beat the Bills and they beat the Ravens. That's it.
Paulie's going to recap the action that we had from a betting standpoint over the weekend, and win-lose coming up next, including, how about this, a 110-1, 80-1, and a 60-1 that cashed all in the same game. Details coming up next.
Win Some, Lose Some is sponsored by The Sharp Plays.
Were you a winner last night?
Wow, winning.
Or was it a rough one?
Well, they can't all be winners, can they?
Loser! You're a loser!
Molly Howard recaps the night in sports betting in Win Some, Lose Some.
While we were talking to Nick, Harbaugh announced the Chargers are sitting the people. No Herbert, resting starters, Denver up to 11.5. Here we go. Saturday night, Henry, 4 touchdowns, 110-1. Henry, 3 touchdowns, 25-1. Henry, first touchdown, plus 450. 50 yards rushing each half, plus 650. 20 yards each quarter, 17-1. Henry and Huntley combined 250 yards rushing, 80-1. 5 touchdowns combined with Flowers and Jacobs, 35. Dobbs and Flowers, 60-1. Imagine if Jacobs did anything. You could have got the 300 or more combined. He did nothing. He was like minus 2,000 to have 15 yards. I think he had 5 yards rushing in the game.
So I'm in a one fantasy league where it's a 3-week scoring aggregate to determine the champion.
Oh, all right.
The guy in third place had Derrick Henry.
Oh, wow. Is that a record? 200 yards and 4 touchdowns?
Clinton Portis had 5 touchdowns in one of the playoff games as a rookie.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm in second place. This is going into the week. The guy in first place had Jacobs. And he had a stink bomb week.
Oh, boy.
The kind of week that you dread of at the exact wrong time. Yep.
I can't recall a game where all those tickets cashed. How about 40 points scored, 12-1? How about Malik Willis, 2 rushing touchdowns, 30-1?
Why? Yeah.
Where's he next year? He's making some money.
You think?
He's better than Geno Smith.
Well, he has to go. He has to go to the correct team.
Uh-huh.
And that might be a little Captain Obvious checking in. But if he were to come out here and, let's say, play for the Raiders, oh, my God, it's going to be a disaster.
Right. Higgins, first touchdown, 30-1, Saturday afternoon. Feel free to put someone on him, Los Angeles. Anytime, 5-1. Broncos win the division, 4-1. Bears win the division, 5-1. First touchdown of the day, Patriots, 6-1. Quarterback to throw 5 touchdowns, yes, 4-1. May did it. Most passing yards, Mayfield, 15-1. Most rushing yards, McCaffrey, 14-1.
Boy, was he good.
Burden came in late and took it from Olave. Olave missed. Olave would have did it back-to-back weeks. Burden, 20-1. Most points, Patriots and Niners, dead heat. Both 6-1. Highest scoring game, Niners-Bears, 3-1.
How good was that game last night?
Awesome. Also how it played into strategy. Where I don't want to give you time left or, you know, I can't kick a field goal. Can't get a stop. Fewest points, Steelers, 10-1. Awful. Lowest scoring game, Brown Steelers 2-1. Lawrence, 2 touchdowns, 18-1. Sunday night, first touchdown, Bears defense 40-1. Anytime 7-1. Saturday in the NBA, the Nets beat the Timberwolves. They were plus 475. And the Jazz beat the Spurs. They put Wemby in the starting lineup and lose. Plus 550. What a letdown spot. And Aston Villa was plus 330 in the prim. Subscribe, be part of the team. VSiN.com, our radio and podcast friends. You always want to see these tweets and videos at Paulie Does Vegas on Instagram. Send them in. We'll put you on. Look at this. The guy goes out to get his mail, right? And the dog's right behind him. Peek up. Now look straight ahead. Here comes the big fella. Look at the moose. Oh. And then he stops at the last second. Just tries to put a scare in him. But how about the dog? What, 8 pounds? The dog wants a piece of the moose and protects the owner. And finally, the dog runs back and they run inside. After the moose, who's across the street, takes a run at the guy who just goes out to get his mail. Oh, my God. Life flashed before your eyes there. Look at this.
Yeah, you're not kidding.
There's the dog. Okay. How you doing? And then here he comes. He just stops at the last second.
Remind me sometime. I'll tell you the story. When I was a kid, our Lhasa Apso Kirby was chasing a herd of cows. And it's a wild story. Don't have time to tell it right now, but sometime down the road I will.
All right. You got another one? Look at this. Let's go to the Philippines. Of course, dog can surf. Look at that. Throws it out there. Piece of cake. The human helps him out. Looks like...
Bodie?
Bodie, that's right. Bodie. Just give me the one wave. Come on, man. Let me go. Go the handcuffs. Give me the shot here. Look at the dog out there. That's awesome. The dog surfing in the Philippines. Incredible. Lose some. I didn't understand it. We were live on the air while it kept moving. Nothing but Colts money. 6.5 down to 3.5. And a wild finish.
It took a big field goal to cover that. But...
Why would he? That's my bad beat. Why would he kick that? That's ridiculous. There's 18 seconds left. That's the only way that you're giving the Colts life. I don't care how good Little is, and he's got a big leg. If you punt, they have to go 50 yards in 10 seconds without a timeout.
Right. Probably afraid of PI, something. I don't know.
I can't believe he did that. Colts Jags over 45, but got up to 50 at some spots with the total. Packers Ravens under 46 down to 38.5. Saints did it again. 2-14 ATS in the first quarter. 0-14-2 on a money line. They've never led at the end of the first quarter of the whole season.
That also means they've been an incredible live betting team.
That's right. Bengals Cardinals over 50.5 up to 53.5, no good. Bills pick up to 3. Bills also 3-14 ATS in the first half.
That's another one I could not understand yesterday.
Yeah, the Bills money. Yeah, horrible. He's throwing to you and Cooks. No one could get open.
Sirianni said he's going to play his guys.
Pittsburgh 6 up to 13. Clemson plus 1 went off a 2-point favorite. Bad for the books. Giants pick up to 3. Piece of cake rolled over the Raiders. Army plus 3.5 to minus 8. Bombed UConn. East Carolina 4-1 on the money line. Miami, Ohio, Fresno under 44.5 to 40.5. UTSA Friday night 57.5 up to 63.5. They got it themselves. Missouri, Virginia under 50.5 down to 43.5. Bad beats if you had the Colts in that range, 3.5 to 6. All you do is punt, the game's over. He kicked the field goal to put it on 6. North Texas, lane 9 against San Diego State, up 20 in the fourth quarter. And then in a 9-point game, the Aztecs scored on the final play of the game. It fell 2.
The quarterback had to be Superman and go over the pile there.
Yeah.
And it looked like it was close at first.
For the line move, sharp plays already there. They don't just follow the market, they help shape it. Advanced AI, connected to proven insider sources, active across all sports. They deliver the edge serious bettors rely on. I retweeted the Mr. Poison tweets yesterday. He had some losers as always. That's great info. And look for the first touchdown of the game coming up later tonight. Free reports, alerts, market moving insights straight to your inbox or X feed. Jeff and the crew have been at it since 2011. Documentary results, public logs, transparent receipts, sharpplays.com. Trusted by pros, monitored by the books. Stay ahead of the line. Join the team, sharpplays.com. That line was too low, as I said it earlier. But when that came out, 7.5, because you knew Harbaugh was going to sit people. And now he makes the announcement. So now 11.5 now in this game. And that would mean, you know, I would think the Bills can beat the Jets with you at quarterback. That we will now get Patriots-Chargers, which is actually a good matchup for the Chargers because the Patriots don't have much of a pass rush. And that would mean Buffalo and Jacksonville. So those are some great first-round matchups. Huh. And hopefully it's Houston and Baltimore as well. But as we've seen all year, though, Denver plays down to their competition. And I wouldn't be surprised if Trey Lance can hang in this one. Would you?
No, neither would I. No, I mean, I'm not going to rush out there. And we'll expand on this coming up at the top of the hour. But we suddenly have a bunch of games that are double-digit games. I'm not going to run out there and tell you to go bet and lay 10, 11 points in these spots. I've been burned, years ago. And I was like, oh, they have to win the game. No problem. Well, they're going to kill a bad team. And they would never win. I'm like, I learned quickly.
Sure. And what we talked about with the tax, no doubt. You're paying their premium. But we talked about it yesterday that Evan Abrams, since 1990, teams that have to win against teams that are eliminated. The last 2 weeks, 61% ATS, it went 4-1.
Yep.
Teams that are out of it against teams that need to win.
Again, you can always tweet the show at VSIN Live, at Mitch Moss Radio, at Paulie Howard. We'd love to ask you stuff that we might miss here with Week 18 now looming. What do you need to happen to win a bet in Week 18? Could be a win total. Could be a player prop. We got, you know, Derrick Henry, when you look, he's about 150 yards, I believe, behind James Cook for the rushing lead.
Okay.
And so we got a tweet on this moments ago asking if that's still in reach. Hello, alts this week for Henry against Pittsburgh's defense. If that would, because James Cook, like, how much playing time does he want to go for the Bills this week? And like, will they play anybody?
They should not. No.
They should not play anybody. Jonathan Taylor is ahead of him as well, but maybe.
Well, it's a question, though, for the organization. You know, you already beat the Patriots, but you were down 3 touchdowns. Do you want to go to New England or do you want to go to Jacksonville?
That's right.
Maybe they don't care.
Yep. I'll say this. I can't believe I'm in this spot.
I can't either.
I have no business cashing this Vikings win total over 8.5.
No business.
And now they're...
It's a miracle. It's a moose in Minnesota.
It absolutely is. That's probably where that video was from. Somewhere around that stadium.
Okay. They were 3? Were they...
Three and eight.
3-8.
Yeah.
Underdogs at home to Washington. 6-point dogs at Dallas. Small favorite against the Giants. McCarthy gets hurt. 7.5-point dogs against the Lions, and now they are laying a touchdown against probably Clayton Tune and the Packers.
Right.
And I wouldn't rule out them playing McCarthy. I don't think it'll happen, but that's still in play. But you're telling me Brosmer's going to be laying 6.5? And if the Vikings win, they somehow go over the win total.
I can't complain if that happens. You can't have a Saints win, right?
It's over. I lost.
Oh, it's over now.
It's over.
I thought you needed. Oh, wow.
The Saints went over their win total.
Up next, our final weekly discussion for upcoming regular season games with points, spreads, and totals. Week 18 numbers next. That's a